brightly burning, brightly burning fire divine. Satisfy my spirit's yearning, fill this empty soul of mine. Burning, burning, deeply burning, deep. Burning holy fire. Now your perfect plan discerning, your design is my desire.
Amazing God, you call us today just as you called the disciples on the day of Pentecost. You challenge and support us, revealing the brokenness of our communities, giving us the peace that our world needs. You point us to the pain of the cross and then remind us of the joy of the resurrection. Transform us, O God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us breathe deeply of the breath of life. Blow through our worship and change our lives forever. Amen.
Today, on behalf of the leaders of the Salvation Army in Australia, Commissioners Robert and Janine Donaldson, it's my privilege to launch 21 Days of Prayer for the Salvation Army. This has been called Pray It Forward. We need a mighty moving of the Spirit across the Salvation Army. And what better than to launch on Pentecost Sunday 21 Days of Prayer. And in our meeting this morning, we are going to pray some of those prayers. Pentecost Sunday celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit in great power. The Salvation Army, more than ever, needs another Pentecost. So, here's my prayer. Mighty Holy Spirit, come upon us again with Pentecostal power, pouring into us the spirit of discernment, power, boldness, and courage. Allow us to prune the dead branches that we may be fruitful again, so that we can produce even greater kingdom fruit. And we pray this forward in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for the Salvation Army in Australia, but we also pray for the Salvation Army around the world. We think especially of those in this land who are our church family, and today particularly thanking God for our church family here at Caloundra. May God draw near on this Pentecost Sunday to you, our church family.
We pray for the opportunity to reassess and evaluate all you've given to us. Lord, make us good stewards of our resources. Would you please send us new ways of delivering the mission that you have prepared for us, and lead us in ways that will facilitate healthy Christian community.
God, send your Holy Spirit that we may be your witnesses, and that we may make disciples of all nations, right here in Caloundra and across Australia. Lead us in ways as we encourage people into discipleship and into faith pathways. Guide us, our great God. How can we serve you better and be a part of your mission in our family, in our neighbourhood, in our workplace, in the marketplace? Help us to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us, not only on this Pentecost Sunday, but in the days ahead. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today and to worship with you. I want to share a little with you about what's happening here in Caloundra. So you will have noticed a lot on the media and around Facebook and on the streets about the Red Shield Appeal. We are still in the midst of the Red Shield Appeal, And the digital door knock is available if you're talking to people and they want to make a donation. If you have any questions about that, ring us in the office. That appeal will remain open until the 30th of June. This afternoon, exciting times, we'll be starting back with our house of prayer. So this afternoon at 4 p.m. in the main part of our church hall here, we'll be meeting to pray. And what a blessing that will be to come together. So I'd invite you to pray, to come and join us. If you can't make it here, pray from home. And if you do have any prayer requests, please get in touch with us. Send those to Jan or send them to us in the office. So dinner, Tuesday night, is continuing. We had so many people come Tuesday night. It was great. It was overwhelming. It is getting dark quickly, just looking outside. It is getting dark sooner. So if you can come sooner rather than earlier if you're coming to dinner. Dinner is from 5 till 6 on a Tuesday night. And you can take away your meal or drive through if you don't want to get out of your car, and we'll meet you at the top of the driveway here. Now, Tuesday night, another exciting thing is returning, Just Men. And the men we spoke to last Tuesday night at dinner and other places were very excited about gathering together for your Bible study small group time. So that will be from 6 immediately after dinner, from 6 till 7. And if you have any questions about that, and you usually come to Just Men, you can get in touch with James. Now, another coming soon event is our Junior Soldiers, our Junior Timbrels group, and Kids Church. So if you're part of that activity, or if you're interested in being part of those activities, you'll receive some information soon via email. Or if you want to get in touch with us, please contact the office. We're really excited about our kids getting back together. It'll be good for you to see each other and to hang out, even if things look a little bit different. Now, our big save the date, July the 12th, will be the first time that we can gather here together for church. It will be with restrictions, so we'll be gathering outside in the outdoor chapel. 10 a.m., our normal Sunday morning meeting time, we'll gather there, and it'll be great to see you all. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of this worship online this morning, or whenever it is that you're viewing it, if it's later on down the track. Bless you, and I'll hand you over to Jess and to Brittany for kids time. Thanks.
Everybody, welcome to Kids Time this week.
Welcome. Has anyone lost any teeth or had a birthday this week? We haven't had any news of anyone losing any teeth or any new birthdays coming up. So if you have lost your tooth or if your birthday's coming up, be sure to let us know. And I hope that you guys all had an awesome week back at school for the very first week back after your time homeschooling. And sometimes, you know, we can feel a bit anxious or afraid when things change. And lots of things have been changing at the moment, haven't they? We haven't been able to visit our friends and go to the park for a while. Everything looks a bit different and scary at the moment. And maybe we're feeling a bit anxious about going back to school. But it's important to remember that God is always there for us.
That's right. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 5:7 that reminds us of that. It says, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." This verse reminds us to have peace in knowing that God is always there for us and he knows what's going to happen.
That's right. And peace is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, which we will be talking about in Kids Zone today.
Awesome. Can't wait to see you guys there. All bye, right. Guys.
See ya.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Good morning. Welcome to church. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday, the day when we celebrate, as Christians, the Holy Spirit being poured out upon us. Now, the Holy Spirit is represented in various ways in the Bible. In all the Gospels, when Jesus is baptized, they talk about the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove and resting upon Jesus. But in this story we hear in Acts, the Holy Spirit comes in power, he fills the room, and tongues of fire represent the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is Spirit. How do you represent in a physical way the Spirit of God? Well, regardless of whether you consider that maybe the Holy Spirit is like the dove of peace, or whether a powerful tongue of fire resting upon you, it's about what the disciples, the apostles, were able to do after they were empowered, and what we are able to do when the Holy Spirit empowers us. That makes a difference. Jesus said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Jesus calls us to be witnesses. And this Pentecost, Penta meaning 50 days since the Passover, is the day when we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon us and enabling us as believers to be witnesses to everything that God has done for us. So what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to be someone who shares what it means to have God in your life, to experience Jesus alive again, to have the Holy Spirit empowering you? Now, a few years ago, I was buying some fish and chips. I was out one night. It must have been summer because I just ordered my fish and chips and I was waiting outside leaning on my car, probably looking at my phone, and then I heard it, a loud crash. Where the fish and chip shop was located, was on the corner of Robinson Road and Gympie Road, and both major intersections, and a car had come through from Robinson Road and another car through Gympie Road had slammed into it, T-boned it, they called it, bending it around the car, and there was a great metal crunch when it happened. And when I looked up, I saw the carnage. Glass everywhere, bits of car across the road. The whole intersection was shut down. Now, it was about 150, 200 metres away. And by the time I figured out what was going on and how I should respond, there was plenty of people there already. But I was a witness to the event. I'd heard it. I'd seen what would happen. And I needed to respond. I needed to react. So I had my phone in my hand. I rang up 000. And they said, "What emergency service do you need? Fire, ambulance, police?" I said, "Send the light." Maybe I panicked a little. But when I settled down a bit and they asked me the questions, I told them what had happened. And so they dispatched the appropriate emergency services. And it felt like in no time at all, a police motorbike had turned up and the situation gained some sort of control. I was a witness to that event. I shared that witness with the appropriate people. Then I went home and told Karen about it. And to be honest, I hadn't really thought about that event since then. But for those people involved in that action, maybe those first responders, that event might have been something that changed their life forever. In a similar way, Jesus asks us to be witnesses to him. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Because we are witnesses to the greatest event in history. We're not eyewitnesses like the apostles were, but we are witnesses to what that has meant for us. And through people throughout time, how our lives are changed, how the world is different because Jesus came. Because Jesus came and lived that life, a grace-filled life, a life of mercy, showing us how God is, how God interacts with us, what it's like to have God with us, showing us what it's like to have sacrifice when he died on the cross for us, taking on the sins of the world, showing us what it's like to defeat sin and death when he was resurrected from the death, and how that can impact us, and how we can look forward to a hope and a future of a resurrected body and eternity with God. We are witnesses to that in the world and in our lives. And Jesus' call for us is that we need to be witnesses, telling people everywhere. To those first apostles, it was in Jerusalem where they were. They were there for the festival of weeks, the festival of the harvest. 50 days after the Passover, a whole group of people had gathered as they were commanded to, according to the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit came and they proclaimed that message. They proclaimed the first witnesses of who Jesus was and what his life meant for them. So when we are witnesses, when we are witnesses to what Jesus has done in the world and for us and in those people that we know and people throughout history and witnesses to the first eyewitness accounts of what happened, there's things that we need to do when we witness. Our witness needs to be Christ-centered. We need to focus on Jesus. We need to focus on who Jesus was and why he came. And we need to focus on not just his life and the miracles that he performed, but his death and his resurrection. And who he was before that and who he was after that. This is all who Jesus was. When Peter preached that first sermon, he used the Old Testament's witness to who Jesus was. Because throughout the Old Testament, the witness was about Jesus. So he used Joel to witness about Jesus. He used what David said in the Psalms to witness about Jesus. And then he addressed the crowd directly and he said, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know." They had heard about this Jesus. I'm sure that the events of the last 50 days or so, how he had come in during Passover and the commotion of the day when he came in on Palm Sunday and the commotion of how the crowds yelled, "Crucify him," and the preceding stories of how he had, you know, calmed the storm and raised the dead and healed the sick and cast out demons. But that was only part of the story. His life and his death was also about his resurrection. Paul said that with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross. This was all part of God's plan. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in his grip. We need to share the whole story. And our witness needs to be Christ-centered. Our witness also needs to be Holy Spirit-empowered. You see, these disciples, they had spent 40 days with Jesus and they were ready. Derek spoke about this last week to us. In between when Jesus was resurrected and the ascension, there was 40 days. And Jesus appeared to them many times. And he spoke to them about the kingdom, it says in Acts chapter 1. And when he had ascended, they were in the temple daily praising God. But they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to be witnesses. That's why Jesus said they needed to wait. So they waited and they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when he did, he empowered them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability, this power, this ability to be able to witness. This supernatural ability, if you like, is only available to us because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it magnifies whatever ability, whatever natural ability or not we have, the Holy Spirit empowers us to go above and beyond. These 12 disciples, they were ordinary guys. And yet here they were, empowered by the Holy Spirit, impressing thousands with what they said. And Peter, just a fisherman, giving an amazing sermon, talking about Jesus, witnessing to Jesus. And Peter goes on to say that Jesus is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. They could see and hear that day because the apostles were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when we witness, when we share about what Jesus has meant for us and about the experiences that we see in people's lives and in the world around us, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring to our minds recollection of stories, of things that we have learned and about our own experience, so that we can be the witnesses that he wants. So, as witnesses, we need to be Christ-centered. We need to be all about Jesus' full life. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be resurrection-focused. Now, Luke, in Acts, he talks about being a witness over a dozen times, and many of those times, he links it to the fact that they are to be witnesses of the resurrection. After Judas had killed himself, the disciples had decided that they needed a 12th, they needed a replacement. They needed that 12th apostle. And so their criteria was that it needed to be someone who the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus was with us. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken up into heaven. So that they could be Christ-centered, they could be Jesus-focused. But whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. See, it's all about the resurrection. The resurrection is central. If Jesus didn't come back alive again, then they wouldn't have had the courage to go and share the good news. They needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but without the assurance that Jesus is alive, what story do we have to tell? And it's the same today. Do we have the faith to believe that Jesus is alive and active in our world? Do we believe that Jesus is in our hearts, alive, not just in heaven, but with us, his very presence with us? And if we do, then we can gladly say, yes, Jesus was a guy who lived. Yes, he died, but that's not the end of the story. The resurrection is important. The resurrection is important to our witness. And when Peter preached that sermon, he made that point. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered, resurrection-focused, and indwelling. We need to be able to tell the story of Jesus from our own experience, our own indwelling of the resurrected Jesus in our lives. Because when you witness to something, it is about what you know, but in this case, it's about who you know. And if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't experienced him for yourself, how can you possibly witness to others about him? How can you testify to how Jesus has changed you, has made a difference in your life, unless that is your experience? And as you daily grow to be like Christ and you experience his indwelling, you are able to witness to that. But it's more than that. It's also about how you live, because there's a witness in how people see you behave. Do they see a grace-filled life like Jesus? Do they see someone who is full of mercy and kindness and forgiveness towards others like Jesus? Do they see someone who is advocating justice in our community? Do they see someone who is vulnerable like Jesus? The way we act, the way we live, this is also a witness of the indwelling presence of the risen Christ within us. We will be his witnesses, and we will be able to tell people when we know Jesus ourselves. Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered, resurrection-focused, based on an indwelling presence of Jesus living in our life and salvation orientated. There's no point in telling people facts and ideas unless it has a purpose. It's great to know stuff, and some people might be interested in how much we know, but the purpose, the reason why we witness is because we want them to know Jesus for themselves. We want them to experience salvation. And that's why Peter stood up. He stood up and he told them about Jesus because they needed to know that Jesus saves. Peter, towards the end of his sermon, says, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah, the one who has come to save." That is who Jesus was. Early on in his sermon, from the prophet Joel, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And unlike this sermon, Peter's sermon went on. We've just got a little bit recorded in Acts 2, but it says at the end of Acts, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. His orientation was about their salvation, because he knew that when he witnessed to Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' resurrection, when they heard about everything that God had done for them through Jesus, that salvation was on offer. He was, I am sure, that he was ready for a great transformation to happen. And that is the last point, that the reason why we witness is because we expect the transformation of people's lives. We expect people to be different because we have told them our story of who we know Jesus to be. We've told them about the gospel stories. We've told them about how the Old Testament speaks to Jesus and about how we have seen the transformation in others' lives. What was the result of those listening? Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the brothers and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do? What should we do?" The Holy Spirit had convicted them. The witness of Peter, the witness of the apostles, the witness of an empowered Holy Spirit speaking through them had pierced their hearts. And when we tell people about Jesus, when we witness to them, we should expect the Holy Spirit to break through and be ready to be able to share more and more of who Jesus was. So Peter said, "Each one of you must repent of your sins, turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit. Then you can be witnesses to Jesus." A great response. 3,000 people became Christians that day, and the Church of Christ was born. An amazing time. We need to be witnesses. We need to be Christ-centered. We need to be Holy Spirit-empowered, resurrection-focused, from a place of indwelling. We need to be about the salvation of the lost, and we need to be expecting transformation in people's lives. Will you be a witness today? Will you be a witness to what Jesus has done for you? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and showing us what God is like. Holy Spirit, thank you for transforming us, for changing us, for continually renewing us and regenerating us. When we witness, Lord, help us to be all about you. When we witness, Lord, help us to speak of your resurrection and what it means for you to be alive. Holy Spirit, empower us as we witness about Jesus, the risen Lord. Lord, let us our witness be from a place of relationship with you, not just in what we say, but in how we live. Lord, we pray for the salvation of people that will hear us as we speak to them, as we show lives that are all about transformation. And we expect the transformation of the world to continue. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of who you want your church to be. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses. Holy Spirit, empower us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, at the conclusion of our worship this morning, here is my sending out prayer, my benediction. Ever-present God, be with us in our isolation. Be close to us in our distancing. Be healing in our sickness. Be joy in our sadness. Be light in our darkness. Be wisdom in our confusion. Be all that is familiar when all else is unfamiliar. Doors will reopen, and may we, with the zeal of Pentecost, inhabit our communities and speak of your goodness to an emerging world, for Jesus' sake. Amen.